This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at the website, allbook-books.com. And the Substack page for recent poems and essays, musings from between the lines, to which I've added a new descriptive word that a friend shared, sociopoetical. A portmanteau, which if you don't know what a portmanteau is, it's a word based on a piece of luggage, like a carrying bag, which means like two things in one. They've become much more popular of recent, like infotaining. So a lot of my work is sociopoetical. And speaking of the socio society at large, this week is kind of prompted by, a writer friend, Noick Gray, at his Substack page wrote a piece called Hyperlife, Join the Simulation, which had to do with the how the simulated artificial intelligence world is becoming, it's like this place that's becoming sort of, quote, more real than the, quote, real world, to which a friend commented that it helps avoid the degradation of the actual world. People ignore that by focusing on the simulated technology world, which actually they are intertwined because the components to make up the gadgets requires mining and extractivism and abusive labor and such like. So they aren't really two worlds. They're intertwined, but people are getting hook, line, and sinkered, hooked into forgetting and thinking that the technology is the real thing, which brings me to the topic that it spawned, which I call it Plato's Cave 2.0. I've written about this long ago, not that long ago, in 2016, I wrote an essay, Media, Mind Control, and Meditation, Plato's E-Cave, Panopticon, and Beyond. So I'll read a little bit of that. In Plato's allegory of the cave, people saw a shadow play on the wall and perceived it as reality. Today, that cave has morphed to provide umpteen TV channels and mini-screen gadgets, and the once sanctified living room cave has expanded into a free-range bubble of consciousness, heads bowed before an electronic altar seemingly oblivious to the outside world. The panopticon refers to an experimental laboratory of power in which behavior could be modified. And Foucault, the writer, Foucault, viewed the panopticon as a symbol of the disciplinary society of surveillance. That's a quote there. In Plato's E-Cave, not only are the people watching a shadow play, they and the shadows they watch are being watched. Hypernormalization. With a veneer of calm aplomb, the masses communicate 24/7, often in a frenetic urgency of the mundane. Hence, one interpretation of hypernormalization. In all the years of overhearing cell phone conversations in public, I can't recall one snippet of philosophy or practical advice. Rather, stuff like, yeah, oh my God, I'll get the chips. Or, I'll be there in like 30 seconds. If you're old enough, you'd remember the days when you got there when you got there. That said, a cell phone can be a helpful, even life-saving device. Hypernormalization, actually that word is from Adam Curtis's documentary, Hypernormalization. Curtis argues, here's another quote, Curtis argues that since the 1790s, governments, financiers, and technological utopians have given up on the complex real world and built a simple fake world that is run by corporations and kept stable by politicians. And here's more of my essay. The California cyber tech boom was a love child of LSD consciousness that found refuge in e-wizardry, all the while looking to escape repressive politics. In his book 2030, Pepe Escobar describes it as digital network capitalism would then shape postmodern globalization from the new economy before the end of the millennium to every digital wall to be broken beyond. California cosmology forged our world. Well, to backtrack on Escobar's interesting observation, what spawned this is, as the title shows, Plato's Cave 2.0, because when thinking about this, what came to mind was that, wait a second, Plato was writing about this same framework, the basic framework, with the variations now. It's exacerbated by technology and the extractivism and such like affecting Mother Earth and all our habitats. But how is it that Plato was able to tap into some level of consciousness to write about that very framework, like 2,400 years ago? Plato was writing about the same principle of people watching a shadow play and thinking that it's the reality. So part of that allegory, you can read up on it, they come outside and they see the actual sunlight. And so a lot of it has to do with adjusting, dealing, you know, with the bright light. Like, the bright light of truth is often too much for people to bear when they've been in the dark. Why we're kind of squinty-eyed when, you know, when we first wake up in the morning, or if somebody wakes up in the night to do something and they turn on a light, you see them looking squinty-eyed. So it's the same kind of metaphysical approach. When someone has been ignorant or in the dark, one has to be careful with the amount of light one shines upon them, because we think, oh, that'll wake them up, but it could freak them out or startle them or scare them. Some people it might wake up, but that's an issue with the light. But back to my gist of my point here is that what's going on is not at the root of it technological. It is a man issue, a man-made human issue, a consciousness issue, a self-choice issue. Because when someone's driving in their car to go somewhere, nobody is forcing them to check their cell phones. Even though the technology is out there, it's accessible. It's like the new TV babysitter 24/7. You can just, with a click of a switch, you can enter umpteen worlds, but nobody is actually forcing you to do that. It's your choice. While driving, people could just as well observe the way the sunlight filters through the windshield, or catch a glimpse of the trees as you drive by. Something like that. But no, there's something about it. There's something addictive, or, you know, something that people are choosing to be in that constant form of communication. So that's why I'm mentioning this, because I think it goes much, much deeper than trying to analyze it every which way and point the finger at the technology. It's not, in essence, it's not the technology. But again, the technology is an issue, because it is exacerbated, and the way that the technology is an issue is that the usual suspects of, you know, corporate advertising, and even farther back, the educational system and the governments are using the technology to create more of that cave. So you have people that, you know, to shopping and to buy things you need, to go to school and to do all those things, and even a lot of government thing, you know, to file forms and apply for things, much, much more, the emphasis is online, electronics. So again, it's to some level, it is have to do with the technology, but again, the root of that is not the technology itself. Those are the usual suspects that are promoting mass, I guess to paraphrase Matthias Desmet's phrase, mass formation, or the phrase he uses, mass formation. They are promoting the societal emphasis that this is what one needs, and people go along with it to fit in. So there's the conundrum. So that's basically what I have to offer, is to think about the fact that your own personal choices, and I make these choices myself, because I get hooked I get hooked looking up news. I love to learn things and research, but there's a point where I literally have to pull myself away from the computer because I get, too jittery, too mind racing, too much information. It becomes information overload. So it really, I think it comes to each individual's decision as much as possible, depending on your job, depending on what kind of education you want, depending on, paying you, getting your driver's license or whatever other things or taxes, certain things, the gadgets are a help in some ways. But the deeper gist here is that to widen the parameter of how we look at this and to say it does not have to do with the technology in and of itself. It is something far more fundamental, simple, or deeper. I'm not about to go study exactly what was going on during the Greek times at the time that got Plato to that awareness. I would find that interesting. If anybody knows anything about that, I'm certainly open to hearing more. If there was a book about that, I would love it. I would buy it. But again, I'm on research overload sometimes. So at this point, I choose to present that there's something to be looked at beyond the immediate, all the books about how the technology is doing this and that. So, thanks for listening and be well.